Hey, I'd like to welcome everybody to this meeting. Could I have everybody's attention, please? I'd like to welcome everybody to this Emmett County Board of Commissioners meeting, 6 o'clock on June 5th, 2023. I call this meeting to order. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Father, and to the nation, and to the God, in the midst of all, and with just for all.
Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yep.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Aarons?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Here.
Looking for a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Approval of the minutes.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion and a
second.
And several seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. It's time for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, come on up. State your name and then the time starts.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am David Penniman. I live in Littlefield Township. A few months ago, a member of the Episcopal Church on Mitchell Street was looking around in a basement storage room and came across an old stained glass window. The window had been salvaged from the previous church building and put in storage many, many years ago. Panels within the window showed that it had been given as a memorial to Hiram Rose Bell and Alexander Rose Bell, who had died a week apart in the summer of 1880. Some internet searching found Hiram was a toddler, born in 1879. Alexander, only a few months old. They both died of cholera. They are buried together in Greenwood Cemetery. I had heard of cholera, but did not really know what it is. I looked it up to learn. It is a disease that causes rapid and severe dehydration, shutting down internal organs, leading to death. Cholera is transmitted from inadequate and unsanitary sewage systems. And it happened here, only a few blocks away. That was in 1880. In our time, there are only about a half dozen cases of cholera in the United States every year. We enjoy freedom from cholera. I have no fear that you or I or our little grandchildren will suffer and die from it. We enjoy that freedom because we have health and safety codes for plumbing, for sewage and septic systems, and for monitoring compliance with those codes and systems. We enjoy that freedom as a community. We enjoy the liberty of being able to drink water and swim in the lake because responsible governing over the years has trusted informed, knowledgeable people in health departments. Commissioners, I urge you to support responsible governing by being informed, by supporting our health department. Let us all support community freedom. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
John Swartout. Mr. Chairman, over the
last few weeks, I've heard several people tell you that now that you're a public official, you're obliged to serve all the people of the county as if the majority who elected you are deplorables who don't deserve to get what they voted for. Put people over politics, they say. What on earth does that mean? Let me interpret. In other words, there will be no need for politics when everybody thinks alike. These are the roots of intolerance that blossom under leftist regimes into genocide. Stalin, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, and others exterminated tens of millions of people for thought crimes. That is, people who didn't willingly bow to the socialist ideal of the mob in power. People over politics means there's a speck in your eye. Never mind the log in mine. M. Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled, begins, "Life is difficult." This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Democrats like to pretend that life is difficult only because of Republicans. This, of course, is nonsense. Six of you ran as Republicans. Why did you do that? I'll tell you why. Some of you are Republicans. But outside Petoskey, which has about a sixth of the county's population, Emma County is still majority Republican. So if you run as a Democrat, you lose. That R after your name on the ballot means something. It means to people who don't know you that you should be the lesser of two evils. But only if you govern as Republicans do when they're not acting like Democrats. Democrats don't do what they're telling you to do. They have a razor-thin majority in Lansing, and look what they've done with it. In 5 months, they repeal right to work to reward the unions. They've infringed the right to keep and bear arms. They've given $715 million of our money to a CCP-controlled battery maker. They've repealed the 1931 abortion ban as if Proposal 3 were not enough. They've expanded the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to make the formerly mentally ill into a protected class, i.e. more equal than the rest of us. And they've passed an $81 billion budget, $23 billion more than in 2018. 80% of Michigan's counties voted Republican last November. Who's putting people over politics to represent them? So chin up, keep up the good work, and pay no attention to the smear merchants.
Thank you. Who's next?
My name is Leslie Nielsen. I'm from Charlevoix County. I wasn't going to speak today, but after that, I felt I must. I'm going to read from Heather Cox Richardson, who is an historian. She actually goes back and tells the truth about our history. Beginning in 1943, the War Department published a series of pamphlets for the U.S. Army personnel in the European Theater of World War II titled Army Talks. The series was designed to help personnel become better informed men and women and therefore better soldiers. On March 24, 1945, the topic for the week was fascism. You are away from home, separated from your families, no longer at a civilian job or school. Many of you are risking your very lives, the pamphlet explained, because of a thing called fascism. But the publication asked, what is fascism? Fascism is not the easiest thing to identify and analyze. It said, nor once in power is it easy to destroy. It is important for our future and that of the world that as many of us as possible understand the causes and practices of fascism in order to combat it. Fascism, the U.S. government document explained, is government by the few and for the few. The objective is seizure and control of the economic, political, social, and cultural life of the state. The people run democratic governments, but fascist governments run the people. The basic principles of democracy stand in the way of their desires. Hence, democracy must go. Anyone who is not a member of their inner gang has to do what he's told. They permit no civil liberties, no equality before the law. Fascism treats women as mere breeders. Children, kitchen, and the church, said the Nazi slogan for women, the pamphlet said. Fascists make their own rules and then change them when they choose. They maintain themselves in power by use of force combined with propaganda based on primitive ideas of blood and race by skillful manipulation of fear and hate. and by false promise of security. The propaganda glorifies war and insists it is smart and realistic to be pitiless and violent. Fascists understood that the fundamental principle of democracy, faith in the common sense of the common people, was the direct opposite of the fascist principle of rule by the elite few, it explained. So they fought democracy. They played political, religious, social, and economic groups against each other and seized power while these groups struggled.
30 seconds.
Americans should not be fooled into thinking that fascism could not come to America. The pamphlet warned, after all, we once laughed Hitler off as a harmless little clown with a funny mustache. And indeed, the U.S. had experienced sorry instances of mob sadism, lynching, vigilantism, terror, and suppression of liberties. To be continued.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm Larry Dyer, resident of Petoskey. I'd like to speak in support of the resolution that will be discussed today to guide representation to the Board of Health. I agree with the language of that proposal that the representative should be representing the policies of the whole Board of Commissioners, and that there should be some policy and consensus determined here at this body. If the representative to the Board of Health has concerns about the health department, I think those concerns should be raised first in this body, and a policy should be arrived at here for Emmett County by the Board of Commissioners. Specifically with regard to the Board of Health Program Committee, the responsibilities in the Board of Health bylaws state that the Program and Evaluation Committee shall be responsible to investigate new program concepts, develop long-range target strategy, review existing programming and licensure, review all program evaluation, and monitor progress towards deficiency correction. I think those responsibilities require a broader and strategic approach rather than scrutinizing each individual grant that the health department proposes proposed to write. I think the Board of Health should be working with health department professionals in developing that strategy to develop what programs they want to pursue and then what grants make sense to pursue to develop those programs. But it shouldn't be done on a grant by grant basis. That's cumbersome and not at all feasible for the health department professionals to work with that. It requires that the Board of Health work with respect the professionalism and the abilities of the Board of Health, the health department professionals. And you're free to disagree with them, but if you disagree with those health department professionals, you're responsible to be well informed and express those disagreements in dialogue with those health department professionals so that you can arrive at a sensible and well-informed conclusion. The responsibilities of the Board of Health are to enable the health department to serve the communities that you represent. And I wish you to take that responsibility seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Joyce Burns. I'm here to read a letter from Ann Bandekar from Little Traverse Township. She couldn't be here tonight, but she wrote this. I listened carefully to the audio recording of the last meeting, seeking to unravel the conflict, note the concerns of county residents, and consider the implications of Commissioner Kuntz's proposed goals and objectives. While only two residents spoke about the grant proposal, both clearly stating that there was no guarantee of receiving it and that this money would not actually benefit our county nor our school systems, most people chose to debate the legitimacy of the COVID mandates that were imposed in this county by the health department. According to this recording, the convictions of the residents remains divided, which clearly indicates to me that no future decisions and no goals or objectives will benefit or appease everyone. If a majority agrees with a decision, there will be many who disagree. Therefore, I believe that it is inappropriate for our commissioners or our health department to impose any decisions, goals, objectives, rules, or regulations that would infringe upon the rights of county residents to act according to their own moral convictions. The proposal that commissioners be bound to support the Northwest Michigan Health Department in their endeavor to comply with the Michigan Health Code seems irrational to me. The Michigan Health Code is not something that is set in stone. It's subject to change and is constantly changing. How can any responsible official agree to support changes that have not yet occurred regarding situations that have not yet materialized, involving issues that have not yet been discussed? And the proposal that commissioners or board members be bound to accept the advice of their legal counsel or request that a second lawyer be hired seems just as irrational to me, since again, it refers to something that does not yet exist regarding some situation that has not yet materialized, including issues that have not yet been thought of or discussed yet. And why, as Commissioner Kuntz stated, should the residents of Emmett County be compelled to pay two separate lawyers because one of them may not fully understand the issues? As the commissioner stated, if we are paying them for their advice, then we should accept their advice. Does he mean that if he goes to the doctor and he advises him to stop eating meat, that he is compelled to never eat meat again? Or is he planning to refuse to pay the doctor? Rather than setting a goal to support this restrictive course of conduct, I expect all commissioners, board members, and legal authorities to listen carefully to the issues as they are presented one by one and use sound judgment and thoughtful reasoning, and then to act in the best interests of residents of Emmett County, which may be vastly different from the interests of those living in Detroit, Ann Arbor, Lansing, or the rest of Michigan. The remainder of these goals and objectives seems redundant and unnecessary. If they were not needed in the past, what suddenly makes them necessary now?
Thank you. Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
Carla Buckmaster, I've not written nor talked to any of you about tonight's resolution to guide representation on the Board of Health. So here I say, being interested in the process of government, I am stunned that this board even is considering adding layers of coercion on your decision-making on the health board. Need extra resolutions for your representation for serving on community corrections, local revenue sharing board, brownfield redevelopment authority, land bank authority, or NLEA? You already have the commissioner's code of ethics, and its section B11 is referenced in tonight's proposed resolution. Tonight's resolution policy number 7 states, the Board of Health should vote on and decide items of HDNWM business, not subcommittees of the Board of Health. Let's just ignore the fact tonight's resolution would be ruling about the four counties health board's subcommittee, not just Emmett County's subcommittee. Consider, though, number 7 statement seems ignorant of the usefulness and purpose of subcommittees. Perhaps all that is needed is for those serving on subcommittees to be re-educated about the purpose of subcommittees. Subcommittees may discuss topics, come to a consensus, and if the subcommittee wishes the topic to move forward to the full board, its vote recommends to move the topic of discussion to the full board. Or the subcommittee may decide to not recommend a topic, like a particular grant, to the full board. So then the topic rightfully dies in subcommittee. One policy, number 4, especially concerns me about locking yourselves into complacently heeding legal advice. In recently working with an attorney to restate my own trust, I did not heed the lawyer's original document. I found incorrect spellings, inaccurate statements, and items needing to be deleted or added. I did not heed the original advice document without questioning. Eventually, we ended with a concise, personalized legal document. While silently reading each of the policies of the resolution from the packet, I audibly said, duh, that was my same, although silent, reaction and appeared to be the same reaction of the commissioners when the ideas were dropped on them and on the public at the previous meeting.
15 seconds.
Commissioners were not disagreeing with the essence of the proposals, but did seem amazed at any need for redundant stating those proposed policies. Therefore, I see absolutely no purpose being served with passage of this resolution regarding the health board.
Thank you. Who else? Anybody else? Come on up.
Hello, Brenda Kobita. I live in Petoskey. I second everything that woman who just spoke said. Going through the resolution, first of all, I totally disagree that it's necessary. And I feel like it's sour grapes on the part of certain parties. As far as going through the list, number one, support the health department. I would like to point out that the Board of Health is a governing body and it's not designed to play only a supportive role. Number two, serve in a way that honors its stated mission. I would like the board to clarify exactly what serving means, especially when it's referring to this health equity. What is health equity? And is this something that the health department is supposed to provide? As far as I've seen, health equity is something thrown around a lot by the left, the progressive left. They like to use the words equity quite often, and I still don't really quite understand what it means. I know what equality is, but equity, especially when it comes to health, not sure what that means. Number three, follow the bylaws of the Board of Health. Okay, as far as meetings go, apparently it's because one meeting was canceled and another one was adjourned. The first one, I believe, was canceled by the health officer and it was never rescheduled. I go to all of the meetings, almost all of the meetings, and I still don't know why that was never rescheduled. The second one was adjourned on advice of the attorney, from what I understand. So not sure what that's about either. Four, heed legal advice. Again, to second what the woman before me said and what I said at this last meeting is, please hire someone who has experience in public health. I think that would be wise. If you're going to take the advice of one attorney, please make sure that at least they have some experience. Honor and respect the contributions of the staff. Of course, yes. But that door also swings both ways. I've been at a lot of meetings bantering back and forth, and ultimately it's we the people. Like, we're the taxpayers, you know, and we feel left out of a lot of it. So take time to learn about service. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, you know, everybody needs to do that when there's a new role to be played. Number seven, the Board of Health should vote and decide on items. This is the subcommittee ones. This is a stickler. I can see that right there. I think that it's a necessary thing. Like, there's so much that's got to be done, and subcommittees are necessary. So thank you very much. I appreciate your listening tonight.
Thank you. Come on up.
First, I'd like to say thank you all for your service. Whether I agree or disagree with you, you've been voted in, you are here, and we work with what we have to work with.
Could you state your name, please?
I'm sorry. Tim Tamlin, Harbor Springs. I'm a first name basis guy. So Rich and Jay, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're putting up with. It's obvious from the last meeting that there are a few that would like to sabotage what you're trying to do. Whether it's more than one, I don't know. But apparently there's been a lot of talk spread around, misinformation, which has caused a lot of people to get really upset about things that they didn't really need to, from my opinion, from what I've observed. I just want to say that our country's going through a lot of changes. Both of you are part of it. and I thank you for that. Our country's gone adrift in many ways, but it's starting to get righted the way it's supposed to be. And it starts at the lower levels and works up. I have a poem I'd like to read for you. Hopefully it will encourage you. And I have a copy for each you, Rich and Jay. Should I give it to you now or after? Actually, I'll give it to you after so I can finish reading it before you cut me off. Poem's called You Mustn't Quit. Please excuse me if I get emotional. It means a lot to me. It was James J. Corbett, former heavyweight champion of the world, who said, fight one more round. When your feet are so tired and you must shuffle back to the center of the ring, fight one more round. When your arms are so tired you can hardly lift your hands to come to guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding, your eyes are black, and you're tired and you wish your opponent would crack you one on the jaw and put you to sleep, don't quit, fight one more round. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trotting seems uphill, when the funds are low and your debt are high, you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but never quit.
30 seconds.
Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turned about. You might have won had you stuck it out. Stick to the task, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with one blow. Success is failure turned inside out, several tint of a cloud of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are, and may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst. You mustn't quit.
Time's up. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Pat Fralick from Bear Creek Township. And item number 6 in the Health Department resolution to be considered later in the meeting is to take the time to learn about services, funding mechanisms, health code requirements, and value to Emmett County residents. And I think that's a really important request. The mission of the Health Department can really be summarized in the first 2 words of the mission, and it is to serve. The public face of the Health Department is represented by the services provided, dental clinics, nurses working in clinics and homes, mental health therapists and social workers in schools and homes, community health workers, nutritionists and technicians working in the community, environmental health staff ensuring safety in food service industry and the environment, all serving the residents of Emmett County. But for those services to occur, there's an infrastructure that's needed to support them. Finance, keeping all program budgets separate, tracking and reporting all expenses to the funders, billing multiple insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, dental, McLaren, Priority, Blue Cross, and the list goes on. And anyone who's gotten a bill from an insurance company knows that it's complicated. Believe me, it's even more complicated to get paid from insurance companies for services provided. But we have a great staff that does that. Technology, ensuring computer hardware, laptops, printers, phone systems are all operational in multiple locations on a daily basis and providing technical support for multiple electronic records, medical, dental, environmental health staff, and ensuring that cybersecurity and HIPAA standards are upheld and that the data is backed up. Purchasing, ensuring correct medical and dental supplies are ordered and delivered to multiple locations to operate dental clinics, WIC, immunization, health screenings, and the laboratory. Our medical director, providing orders for clinical services such as breast and cervical cancer screening, immunizations, and medical leadership when there's a communicable disease outbreak to protect the health and serve the community. Administrators, hiring and mentoring quality personnel, writing protocols to ensure excellence in service delivery and adherence to state and federal program requirements, partnering with local and state entities to address community issues such as environmental health taxes, mental health needs, substance abuse infants, and smoking, e-cigarette, and marijuana use during pregnancy, for example. The health department, like all healthcare entities, is a complex organization that requires the education, knowledge, experience, and skills of multiple individuals to ensure quality services to Emmett County residents. Take the time to learn more about the health department and support the outstanding staff as recommended in the proposed resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm Bob Wiley, and I'm from Emmett County. I agree with many of the speakers who spoke tonight about the resolution, as it may not serve the purpose for which it was intended. And I appreciate the efforts to try to impose a certain morality, but I think I have faith in the elected people of this board, all of them. I'm getting to know more of them as I attend more meetings. And I respect your opinion to make the decisions necessary on these issues rather than try to mandate it, such as heed the advice of an attorney. Heed means to take under consideration. It implies that maybe you weren't heeding the advice of the attorney. And I think that the health board and the members representing this board that attended the health board do heed the advice of the attorney, but they don't have to agree with it. So I appreciate all your efforts, and I think that you have the capability of making proper decisions without trying to micromanage through the resolution.
Thank you. The gentleman in the back, standing. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Frank Hawthorne, and I live in the city of Petoskey. In supporting Commissioner Kuntz and urging your board to support his resolution, I remind some of you, all of you really, that none of these endless discussions would be necessary if we simply return to our longtime traditions of good government and good governance. As someone of age 69 who has spent a lifetime trying to stay engaged and involved in a small way in our shared democracy, I remind my fellow citizens and neighbors that we cannot continue this 250-year-old experiment in self-governing if we can no longer trust each other and those we employ to keep us safe, and that includes the health board. Please think about it and act accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening. Mary Moore, Littlefield Township. Nothing that the Board of Health has done endangers the health department's existence, its existing services, or its mission as that mission is set forth in the public health code. Please do not be propagandized here by emotional appeals, and do not be swayed by a parade of horribles. Fascism, I believe, has come to this country, but it's come from the left, not from the right. I fully support all of you guys voting no on this resolution, and I'm going to give you a few ideas why. The first thing I want to point out is a conflict between number 3 and number 4. At the last Board of Health meeting, which was adjourned after there was no agreement on the agenda, and the attorney was consulted, and the attorney said, you should adjourn the meeting. Okay, so number 3 was not followed, right? The monthly meeting did not take place. But number 4 was followed, which was to heed the advice of the attorney. Had this been in place, you guys would have had the trouble of figuring out whether to follow number 3 or number 4 on this silly resolution. Okay, let me go to the top. I agree, by the way, with Clara Buckmaster, with John Swartout, and with Brenda Kubita. They all made very good points, and I would add my voice to all of them. I agree that the point number 1 is silly. You are supposed to be the governing body for the health department. You're not elected to, quote, support it. You are to govern it. It means to understand it and respect it and work cooperatively with it. But it doesn't mean you have to support every decision that they make. Number two, serve in a way that honors the stated mission of the health department. I have an issue with this as well, and it's another reason not to pass this resolution. The real mission of the health department, gentlemen and ladies, is in the health code. That's the mission, the way it's put forth in the health code, where everything is well defined. The mission here, which includes the terms achieve health equity, I will say to you is undefined. I have tried to find a definition for health equity. I will tell you that I spent easily an hour and a half, downloaded 35 documents, starting with a CDC document, and I cannot define it for you other than it includes CRT and climate change. Okay. Number three, follow the bylaws of the health department. Meetings shall be held on a monthly basis. What about that meeting we never held in October of 2021 when Lisa Peacock was in charge? Number four, heed legal advice from your attorney. You should never heed anything in advance. This is silly. I can't believe your lawyer approved this. Number five, honor and respect the contributions. Of course you respect people. Of course you do. We don't need a memo to tell us this. Same for number six and number seven. On number seven, you're supposed to vote on matters of public policy, not items of business. Nothing here is worth passing, and I urge you not to pass it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Who's next? Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Lisa Keene.
I also thank you for your service and for everyone who's in attending, as life is busy. I'm not here to give my opinions or my beliefs, nor am I here to make my political views evident or criticize anyone else for theirs. I did hear some things that might be worth clarifying. Someone had spoken about the grant, which is a dead horse, but it definitely would have helped every student in the Sharm ISD, as that was the program. That was the grant, and we included those schools for which it would serve. And at that meeting that didn't happen, people like me represented the schools. And there were several of us, both employed or retired, from all different districts there, both employees and administrators, to support the grant. But again, that's a done deal. I heard someone ask about equality versus equity. To give a simple explanation, and you can apply this to health as you see fit, equality, for example, would be we all get to stand in the front row, just behind the security fence. Okay, so take your favorite rock star, me, Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam. Go in there in August. And if I am at the front of the fence, along with all these other people, but the fence is 5 feet tall, that's equality. We all get to stand in the same spot. Equity is to say, okay, you're tall. Poor Lisa, she loves Eddie Vedder. She's 5 feet tall. She can't see over it. So Lisa gets a little stool. That is equity. We all are in the same spot. It's just we need certain tools to achieve the same thing. And although my mother would be humiliated to hear me say this, this chest of mine has been a 34D since I was 13. And the one role a woman's chest should serve is to feed her young. So when I, 13 years ago, gave birth to the most amazing little girl, I couldn't feed my child. I lugged this around my whole life, and it didn't work. And you know who came in to help me? The health department.
30 seconds.
A nurse came in with her hospital-grade pump. And as you know, many women need breast pumps, and their insurances don't cover them. I was able to get someone to help me in my home. I didn't have to leave my baby. The people who criticize the health department tend to be the ones who don't need their services.
So I would encourage you to think about, when you think about serving, it is representing a body that serves a group of people. And if you are that person who's representing them, you cannot also affiliate yourself with groups that disdain the group you represent.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, Courtney Wilbur. So just to start off with a super quick Google search, the CDC actually does have a great definition for health equity. It's the state in which everyone has a fair and just opportunity to attain their highest level of health. Achieving this requires ongoing societal efforts to address historical and contemporary injustice and overcome economic, social, and other obstacles to health and healthcare and eliminate preventable health disparities. So I just want to share that I am in support of the resolution, and I hope that you step up and do what's right for us. Okay.
Thank you. Who's next?
Mary Lieberman, City of Petoskey. I personally would like to thank Commissioner Koontz for introducing at last Board of Commissioner meeting regarding the expectations for the county's representation on the Board of Health. I would like to thank those commissioners who voiced their support during that meeting for these outlined expectations. Thank you to Dave Boyer and the county's attorney for formulating the resolution establishing policies and positions to guide representation on the Board of Health, which will be introduced and voted on tonight. Thank you to Commissioner Mapes for already embodying the 7 points outlined in this resolution. His representation and service on the Board of Health has been thoughtful, purposeful, and greatly appreciated. And I'd like to thank Commissioner Ginnup for making it obvious during the last commissioner's meeting why this resolution is needed. During the discussion about the county's expectations for the representation on the Board of Health, Mr. Ginnup once again tried to discredit the Board of Health's esteemed and highly qualified attorney, Matt Cross of Plunkett and Cooney Law Firm. He stated, "It all depends," when asked if he would follow the attorney's legal advice. As a reminder, this is a taxpayer-funded attorney, not Mr. Ginnup's private attorney. Mr. Ginnup's only other contribution to the discussion was to spread misinformation about the health department's recent proposal for a nutrition grant. He falsely claimed, and I quote, "Why would we approve a grant that's going to fight against the Line 5 pipeline in the Straits of Mackinac to take food away from the kids?" This outlandish statement is a clear example of the unethical behavior that needs to end. I am hopeful that with these newly set expectations, Mr. Ginnup will start to represent all 35,000 plus people in Emmett County with integrity, honesty, and the due diligence that the citizens deserve. As this Board of Commissioners can see, there are many people in this room wearing a pin indicating their support for local public health. As you all prepare to vote on this much-needed resolution establishing policies and positions to guide representation on the Board of Health, I look forward to each of you affirming your support of the Health Department by casting your vote in favor for this resolution. Additionally, I did take the liberty of bringing pins for each of you so you too can publicly show your support for the local public health. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
Rebecca McCray. I've heard a lot of rah-rah for the health department, and it seems to be something that we think has really been helping America. So here's some interesting things written by a medical doctor. America's broken health care, diagnosis and prescription. The average life expectancy of Americans has gone down since 2014. The U.S. citizens spend almost $13,000 per person per year on healthcare. Comparable countries, meaning, you know, countries like in Europe, they spend half that, $6,000 a year. If you multiply the excess we're spending an excess of $2.3 trillion a year on health, getting a worse outcome. I guess I'm wondering if the government is really capable of helping us. I was really amazed at the one lady who went through a litany of what the government does for us, but it's not helping. Our life expectancy is going down. Our health is getting worse. Maybe it's because we are depending too much on the government.
Thank you. Could you stand up? Come on up.
Hi, my name is Ange Duncan.
Could you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, my name is Ange Duncan. Sorry, my voice is very quiet. I tried to work on it. Anyway, since we're talking about experience, I did work for small government for 7 years, and I was licensed through the health department of my home state for more than 20 years. So policy and procedure is definitely something that I know very well, and how to do my homework. I am here to ask that all commissioners on the board put their full approval behind Mr. Kent's list of goals and objectives for the Board of Health appointees. Stepping back from the recent issues, doing so would only provide clarity and unity to the position for the future, as any organization or business would do in this case. It also shows a commitment to the role that each commissioner has agreed to perform. I would also like to acknowledge the fact that each of these goals and objectives are supported by the Code of Ethics and Conduct for Emmett County commissioners. A refusal to agree with them is a refusal to act in good faith and to the best of one's ability in the interest of Emmett County residents. It's an important time, with the animosity and discord being shown towards the Department of Health, to show them unequivocally that this board has your vocal and adamant support and respect, both here during meetings, but also in public, such as radio talk shows, especially if a member does not specifically state that their opinion is theirs and not the opinion of Emmett County Board of Commissioners or the Board of Health, as is also stated in the Code of Ethics and Conduct for Emmett County Commissioners. I'd also like to request that if any commission members appointed to the Board of Health do refuse to vehemently support the health department and these goals and objectives, then in order to not violate the Code of Ethics, that they step down from the Board of Health so that another commissioner can take their place. And as far as representation for the entire county, I'm going to quote the Code of Ethics. County commissioners shall represent the official policies on positions of the Board of Commissioners to be the best of their ability when designated as delegates for this purpose. When presenting their individual opinions and positions, county commissioners shall neither state nor imply that they represent the opinions or positions of the Board of Commissioners or Emmett County, and must affirmatively state that it is their own opinion or position and not that of the Board of Commissioners. Commissioners shall always be mindful of the needs of the entire community and not just the district they represent. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Is there anybody in the overflow room that wants to speak? Okay. Oh, okay. Anybody else? Last call. Okay, hearing none, seeing none, we'll move on. It's time for public appearances.
All right. I'm Ryan Batchelor, and I'm here to give you an update on a little bit of education on the airport, since it's about 20 miles up the road and you may not get up there that often. I'm going to give you a general overview about what myself and my staff, my one other staff member does, and give you a little bit of information about the airport. So, slide, please. So here are all the duties that I do. Simply put, pretty much if it goes on at the airport, I'm ultimately responsible for it. So, you know, all the facilities, everything, the business, the tenants, contract negotiation, working on public affairs, things like that. That's all my job. I'd like to highlight my airport deputy clerk. She's a new employee as of this year. Her name is Samantha McNitt. So she worked at the airport for almost 6 years before she came over to the county. And she's been incredibly helpful as we've gotten a whole lot of new issues with grants going on, the different policies and procedures have changed, MDOT and the way we track our grants. She does a lot of the grant tracking, purchasing, and it's really taken a lot that, you know, that she took all that 6 years of experience and was able to move forward and really do a good job. And she's definitely improving the efficiency of the airport. So just wanted to make sure to highlight and recognize her for all of her hard work.
Next slide.
So a little bit of general information about the airport. We are a public use air carrier airport. So it's pretty specific when you get into the different grants and programs that the airport is eligible for, that designation, as well as the number of people that are enplaned at the airport, has an impact on our grant funding. So that's just kind of a foot stomp. We're open from 5:30 to 11 p.m. We've got two runways, free parking, and we have contracted operations. So that's how we only, you know, we only have two employees at the airport that work directly for the county. The rest are contracted operations, and this is what all they do. So they do the aircraft rescue and firefighting, snow removal, airport inspections and maintenance, grounds maintenance, building maintenance, janitorial services, fuel supply, quality assurance and maintenance, and airport equipment maintenance. We have a lot of facilities at the airport. We've got the airport main terminal, the general aviation terminal, the snow removal equipment building, which also houses the crash fire rescue, 22 county T hangars, 2 county box hangars, 13 privately owned hangars, the FedEx building, Daifuku building, 3 storage buildings, the power vault for airfield lighting, pump house, and fuel farm. So there's a lot going on up there. And to somebody who hasn't made their way around the airport, you would never really understand what all goes on up there. So I really just wanted to highlight, you know, the amount of things that are actually happening that make the airport go around. These are some of the actual aircraft services that Pelson ARF Inc. provides. They provide the universal communications. So they provide the radio advisories from the ground to the aircraft, as well as take the orders from the aircraft. Refueling, ground auxiliary power, lavatory services, aircraft de-ice and anti-ice for general aviation. We don't do the commercial Delta flights. Passenger movements and after-hour service upon request. These are our commercial tenants. So we have Delta flights that are operated by SkyWest Airlines, and the service crew that actually works on that airplane, loading the bags, the folks at the ticket counter, they all work for the same company and they wear a lot of hats, and that's Unify Services. The Transportation Security Administration, that's the security checkpoint. So that's a small piece of what the TSA does. They also guide us and provide all of the regulations for the overarching security of the entire airport, not just the checkpoint. Vehicle rentals is Avis and Budget. The shuttle service is Mackinac Shuttle. The restaurant is Hoppy's Landing. On airport, we have a repair service called Northern Michigan Jet Services and FedEx. All right, so I wanted to kind of provide an overview of some of the things that are going on now and in a short window in the future. So for 2021, we got a grant in 21 where we're basically rehabilitating the general aviation apron and the commercial apron. That project is very nearly complete. It started last summer, and we're just basically tying up all the loose ends, repairing, putting down grass seed, removing the silt fences. It's mostly complete.
Tell everybody what the apron is.
Yes. So the apron is the aircraft parking ramp. So we added 60 feet to the end of it, as well as resurfaced the asphalt portion. So it's about, I think, about 1,200 feet of asphalt. We've got several projects coming in 2022, designing, taxiway rehabilitation, crack seal and paint marking, an environmental assessment for some obstructions. And then I guess I won't go too far into the future, but that's the airport improvement program. So that's one of the FAA buckets of money that basically is designated for the airport because of our status as a commercial air carrier airport with over 10,000 enplanements a year. So people getting on the plane, not folks getting off. So the other side is the bipartisan infrastructure law. That's the pot of money that came available last year, basically looking at America's infrastructure, and they recognize that airports have a lot of aging infrastructure, and we're going to be utilizing that money for repairing and replacing some of our equipment. So this is some of our capital projects. So we are acquiring a new ARF truck. So that holds 1,500 gallons of water as well as agent. We've got a security camera replacement coming up, replacing the airfield truck for inspections, replacing golf cart for passenger movements. And it sounds kind of silly, but we use that equipment a lot because most of our traffic throughout the year is actually on the general aviation side. We move probably a lot more people than we do on the commercial side. Radio upgrades for all the airport equipment. Any vehicles that go out onto the airport are required to have radios, and a lot of that infrastructure is aging, so we're looking at replacing those. Hangar and facility repairs. There's a good number of things, including overhead doors, windows, carpet, paint that are gonna that need to be done. So we're programming all of those right now. For 23 compliance, we've completed our airport certification inspection that's done annually, and we had no discrepancies. We had one recommendation to replace some of our fire gear. So I was actually really, really proud of our team making sure that everything is going well. I was incredibly surprised. Usually they find something, right? We completed our FAA aircraft rescue and firefighting. That's what ARF stands for, live burn training. And that was one of the grants that came across your desk a few meetings ago for the MDOT grant. We completed our FAA emergency tabletop exercise last September, and that's coming up here in September again. Our TSA inspection, there's a typo on here, I apologize. It's actually tomorrow, it wasn't today. Drafting alternate means of compliance on the TSA security side to allow us to temporarily receive larger, regularly scheduled aircraft. So that's in the works right now. As far as plan reviews, this year we've done the wildlife hazard, the certification manual, security program, and airport emergency plan. Since I'm on the topic of airport emergency plans, I wanted to highlight some very current events that we've had at the airport. Some of the investigations are still ongoing, but there's some people that I really want to thank and recognize. We had two aircraft land with gear issues over the last 2 weeks. One of them landed with his gear up, which means he belly landed with no tires underneath. And the other one was actually last Thursday. This aircraft was a single piston engine prop aircraft. And as he was out flying, he started hearing a god-awful noise. Long and short, his rear main landing gear broke. So he was in a huge predicament. And after I spoke with the pilot after, spoiler alert, everybody was fine. Nobody got hurt and there was no fire. But the pilot said, I knew that Pelston has such a great facility and crash fire rescue procedures and personnel on standby. That is why I came. He was actually doing approaches over in Harbor Springs. So everything worked out very, very well. Because we do these exercises, our staff was ready and prepared, and there was no loss of life, and we were ready for anything that happened. So the folks I'd like to really recognize are the Pelston ARF Inc. Employees, the Pelston Fire Department, Harp Lake Fire Department, Melanson Littlefield Fire Department, Sheboygan Life Support, and Emmett County Sheriff and Emmett County EMS. So, yes. Next slide, please. So here are some of the metrics from 2022. Through all the air traffic operations, so that's anytime an aircraft passes the landing threshold or leaves the departing threshold. So we had just under 12,000 air traffic operations in 2022. We had over 50,000 commercial passengers going in or out. 24,900 of those were in planements. So when I talk about that grant money, 10,000 is the magical number. We well exceed that. For jet fuel, we pumped 753,619 gallons. 609,000 of that was the general aviation side. Only 143,000 were pumped in the commercial jets. And we sold 14,218 gallons of 100 low lead, which is used for piston aircraft, so smaller, generally prop planes. I wanted to give a broad overview, and I always give a caveat to this slide because this is the economic impact for the area and the state because of the airport and everything it brings in and puts out. Basically, the overarching economic impact of the airport is $60 million a year. And that was, 2016 information from the 2017 Michigan Aviation System Plan. So basically, that could be any of the jobs that are there because of the airport. That could be any of the cargo workers who come on and off the airport. That's cargo going in and out of the airport. That's purchasing here locally. Pretty much anything having to do with the airport and dollars that can be attributed to that are part of these numbers. So I don't have the exact, numbers for what goes in or out of these numbers. When this survey comes back up again, I'll be interested to see what the new numbers look like, because we still get a lot of people in and out, and even more people in and out on the general aviation side. But that's all I have. Barring any questions.
Thank you, Ryan. Any questions for Ryan while he's here?
Yes. So what do you do in all your spare time?
What's that?
Could you state the importance of the EAS grants we get from the federal government?
Yeah, so the EAS program is not even a grant. We don't receive that money. That actually goes directly to the air carrier. Okay. So Essential Air Service is a DOT program that subsidizes the airlines providing service to communities that aren't near another airport. So our contract and the EAS program is to provide 12 round trip flights to or from a medium or large hub. Detroit is our hub, and SkyWest has been providing the 12 round trip flights, and we are subsidized from October to May. So outside of May, basically they're on their own dime to provide the service. And generally, we've had a lot more flights in the summertime. However, with a pilot shortage going on, it's really not reduced, but we're not seeing as many flights added on here in the summers. But in July, we'll be having an additional flight. So we'll be have a little bit more. The EAS program, as much as I would love it to be direct nonstop flights, I'm speaking with the DOT representative, that is not an entitlement. It's a nicety that we have enjoyed. We've gone back and forth over the years. However, we do have direct nonstop flights right now.
You have a comment?
I just want to thank Ryan. We attend the meetings on a monthly basis. He's got his act together. Appreciate him.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
We come to the administrator's report.
Thank you. Good evening. My report will be a little bit shorter tonight. I won't take away from the other commissioners and the reports they'll give, but just a couple updates. Parks and Recreation, obviously Memorial Day weekend is a big weekend in the park system. The park, Petoskey was filled up. We saw great turnouts at Petoskey, at the Headlands, Crooked River Lask. We saw 417 boats go through on the weekend. So you can imagine they were busy on the weekend. So it's good to see. The fairgrounds, a new sign was installed. They did hear a comment. The lettering was small today when you drove past it. They can adjust the size on the lettering, and we just got that in place, so they will work that out. There was a nice article about the McAlpin Lighthouse, that project. That project is complete. It's open for the public now, and they've completed all their updates at the facility, so we should be good for another 10 years out there. Veteran Affairs, Neil, I'll let you cover that. Memorial weekend is a big weekend for them and what they do. So I leave that for Neil to go over. NLEA, many of us went to the workshop that they had, the 2023 Northern Lakes Economic Symposium at Boyne Mountain. A lot of speakers there, and the main discussion was talent attraction and retention. That was the focus of this event. So there was a lot of conversation about that. There was conversation about housing, and then they had breakout sessions for other types of business. I included in your packet the North Central Michigan College. They are doing the study on childcare in Emmett County. I've given their second update. They've done two updates so far. The second one is included in your package. And Harbor Springs DDA is going to have a public meeting going over their information, what's been going on in the DDA in Harbor Springs, and that's Wednesday, June 14th. You can contact Harbor Springs if you'd like more information. We do have a couple of proposals on the street, or one just came in, our HVAC units for the jail and court house was just awarded today, so that we'll be bringing that back to you. It was just open today, so we'll be bringing that back to you. And then we have one for some furniture over at Bay Bluffs.
Thank you. Any questions for the administrator? Put him on the spot here. Now it's time for unfinished business. Come to the resolution.
Board, you, Commissioner, you asked at the last meeting to put...
Are we going to hear the North Central?
No, I just included that in your information. Yeah. He asked about the North Central. Yeah. I included that flyer in there and the update that they had on that. We certainly can invite them to one of our meetings and give an update on what they're doing with that.
Thank you.
It was a child care initiative. The board asked to look at the possibility of putting a recommendation together from the last meeting. So what we did is our best to try to put a resolution before you tonight covering the seven areas that were discussed at the last meeting. This is a topic for you, the board members, to discuss, and I will turn it back over to you, Jerry.
All right. So we'll start with the motion.
Well, Chair, to get some discussion going, I move that the board adopt the resolution to establish policies. I move the board adopt the resolution to establish policies and procedure and positions to guide representation on the Board of Health.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. What about discussion?
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm looking at the policy. I would have no issues with items 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6, but with my past experience at when I was at the Road Commission, we did have on two occasions. My board at the time didn't appreciate some of the legal advice we're getting from our attorneys, and we got rid of our labor attorney and our general counsel attorney and hired new ones, and we were very happy with those. So I can understand why maybe the current Board of Health may be a little apprehensive about taking advice from a specific attorney. So I could support the resolution without number 4 in there. And then we all know, being a Emmett County board member, how many different subcommittees that we have. Each of us attend and participate, and we do vote. The subcommittees do vote, give a recommendation to the full Board of Health. And I think if the language could be changed to, I mean, it just seems spiteful to me, the language that is currently on number 7.
So the number 4 there, there's been 2 cases I'm aware of where the Board of Health has not heeded advice of attorneys, and it got expensive real quick both times. And one of the public commenters mentioned that heeding means to take under consideration. So if we were to change the word from heed to take under consideration, would you be able to get behind that? Because I certainly think you're going to have to take under consideration your attorneys. Could we change it to take under consideration?
I would consider that.
Yes. Thank you. I'll make that change on my copy here. So to take under consideration legal advice from health department and Emmett County attorneys.
I think all board members.
Okay, perfect.
Mr. Katowski, I brought up number 7, and my idea is that we don't have minority rule in subcommittees, and that business for the board should be brought to the board, not be set in the subcommittee.
Anybody else? Any other discussion?
That's how subcommittee is supposed to work. They're supposed to provide recommendations, and then they are voted at the main board.
They need to come to the full board.
Yeah, full board, yeah.
Right.
I see that number seven, Mr. Chair, excuse me, but I see that number seven as health department business and not this board's business, although I agree with it. And I'm sure that's something we're going to be taking care of or dealing with in the near future with subcommittees and how they operate and bringing things to the board, because I agree things do need to be brought to the board regarding the health department. And I was just as surprised by everybody else. You know, that's the reason why I voted no the way I did, because I wanted to go full board. But I don't think we need to be micromanaging.
So the ultimate determination on that, it sounds like you're going through that process now.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think that, you know, this whole deal right here. Last month, you and I had, a good exchange of ideas and thoughts and stuff like that. I agree with most of what you got to say, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this is the difference between an ideology between us, not just, operational points of view.
How so?
Well, I think it's micromanaging.
Which number seven you mean?
The whole deal. The whole resolution for a guy who's been totally against resolutions for as long as I've known him.
I'm against resolutions that don't have to do with Emmett County business. And that's been pretty clear.
Has ever been presented to a board of commissioners in Emmett County before?
Well, in our own.
So I'm questioning the need.
The need arose from this controversy that arose, right?
Well, it's a controversy.
And then I read the, our own rules and your goals and array. What is it? The code of ethics. And that says right there, that we need to have some sort of position because we're supposed to.
What code of ethics?
The Emmett County Code of Ethics. I'm going to read it to you.
What ethics have we violated?
I didn't say you have.
Well, then
let me read the code of ethics, what it says. Advocacy. County commission. Let me read the code of ethics.
Just so we can solve
them. No, we're not. But let me read the code of ethics and what it says. County commissioners represent the official policies or positions of the Board of Commissioners to the best of their ability when designated as delegates for this purpose. And I pointed out that we don't have a position. Excuse me, I have the floor. And I pointed out that we don't have a position on that. And you agreed at the time that it would be good to have some sort of position. And so I wrote what I thought was the most general, broad resolution that we come up with, so that would give some guidelines and give the public some confidence. And hopefully we could move forward in a positive manner on Board of Health representation, on an Emmett County Commission and everything. And that's where it came from. And then when you heard it last week, you thought it was a good idea, or 2 weeks ago. And if we change the, I thought about that attorney thing too, and I don't think this is binding, right? So if we said that you take under consideration the advice of the attorney, that seems pretty reasonable, and I don't know why you would, as Brian said, and I think you have.
And that's my point.
Yeah.
You know, my point at all is I'm questioning actually the need for resolution.
Well, it's in our code of ethics. County commissioners to represent the official policies or positions of the Board of Commissioners to the best of their ability when designated as delegates for this purpose. And we don't have positions. So there's this very broad set of positions here that gives you a lot of leeway to serve in the best way that you see fit, as you have already done. And it codifies it. And it can also hopefully give our public some confidence, as we see like our public is missing confidence in this.
Well, what I see here is a resolution that's leading into micromanaging.
What do you see as micromanaging?
We already have a code of conduct, and unless we violated that code of conduct, I don't see any reason to change
it. Well, it says right here that we need to have. It says right here that we need policy.
No, you're wanting because you didn't get appointed to the health board. You are wanting us to answer to you.
That's not true.
Commissioners, before we make a decision.
I want us to follow our own code of ethics, which says that we have a position.
Which up until this point has always been done, as far as I know, and there's never been a need for a resolution.
Well, we don't have policies or positions, so that's why we need policies and positions, because it says in our code of ethics that we need them.
No, we already have a code of conduct, and unless we're violating that, I don't see an issue, and I don't see the need for a resolution. And I just believe that this bid for a resolution from you, Matt, is a a way to please your constituents, but it's not a good for the whole of the county. I don't think the county supports, the whole of the county supports this resolution.
Which part do you not support?
I don't support the resolution, period.
So you don't support, for example, you don't support supporting the health department in its endeavors to comply with the Michigan Health Code? Do you not support that?
We're supposed to be governing the health department, not helping it. last time I checked, right?
That says a lot.
We got elected to a position of, you know, of government and leadership.
That says a lot. What about, do you serve in the way that honors the stated mission of the Health Department of Northwest Michigan? We have that mission statement that we've all agreed on. All the counties have agreed on as part of our mission. So do you not agree with that?
I agree with the mission. Yes.
We're
not talking about the mission.
Well,
we're talking about our role as commissioners in whatever committee we serve on.
Okay, so do you disagree with serving in a way that supports the mission of the health department?
I do agree with that, yeah, but just I don't do it your way doesn't mean I'm doing it wrong.
No, that's why it's really broad. You can do it the way you want. That's why it's stated in a really broad way.
Exactly, but I don't see what's the need for
a rule. Well, it goes back to our code of conduct.
Now, if it come back to a code of conduct, it should have been done long ago.
Now. Because
the only reason why it's being brought up.
When something comes up, we do.
The only reason why it's being brought up, in my opinion, is because you didn't get appointed to the health board.
I know that's a personal attack, and it's not true, and I'm not even going to bother to defend that here.
It's not meant to be a personal
attack. Well, I'm not even going to bother to defend it here because I don't think it's appropriate, okay. And it's a personal attack.
So let's ask Dave, you had a comment. You had your hand raised.
Yeah, I was going to say, Commissioner Mapes, if you are working on business of the subcommittees to try to reevaluate how they work and to bring things to the board instead of doing the work in the subcommittee, I would draw number 7.
And I'm sorry, what was that?
You said you're working on the subcommittees to change how they work so things come to the board and aren't stopped at the subcommittee level. Is that correct?
Yeah, that would be my goal.
I have great faith that you'll do that, sir. And if this is an affront to you on number 7, we'll pull it off.
So that's going to be taken care of tomorrow at the health board meeting.
Then, Mr. Mapes, I respect what you're doing, so let's take 7 off.
Okay, but I still don't need to see the need for the rest of it.
Anybody else? Any other discussion?
Policy is our friend. Policies enable things to move forward and to be refined. And policies are not the enemy of you. They support you in all your actions, and they're generally a very good idea to have. If we don't have one, we probably need one. You can ask businesses across the nation this. People that run multinational companies, they'll tell you need policies. And that's what we've been doing. I know I've been sitting on this board almost 7 years, there were a lot of policies missing that we should have had in this modern age. And we didn't have them. So we passed a lot of policies. We've been doing it for years to kind of catch up to where we should have been. So the fact that we may need another policy doesn't surprise me. It's going to happen again in the future. Believe me, it might happen next month. We'll find something else. You know, that's how we keep refining things and making things better. Try to help each other move through life in a little easier way with less discomfort. And that's what the health department does. It helps people. And I know a lot of people believe in bootstraps, and I'm a guy who's done it myself, but I had boots on to begin with that had straps on them. Some people don't have boots. They don't have socks. You know, and there's a lot of people like to spout we're a Christian nation. Well, what are those ideals? Do we help our fellow person, or do we let them sit and suffer? That's what health departments are created for, to help everybody.
I agree with that thinking.
Anybody else? Any other discussion?
So just to be clear, when we vote on this, we've stricken number 7 and we've changed the wording to take under consideration legal advice instead of heed legal advice.
Great.
I can support that with my 2nd.
Okay, let's have a roll call.
Commissioner Aarons.
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup.
No.
Commissioner White.
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz.
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum.
No.
Commissioner Mapes.
No.
Commissioner Gutowski.
Yes.
Motion passes. Next is the fair for the liquor license application. Could we have an introduction?
Yes. The county fair is coming up. Each year they have a liquor license. They have a tent that's set up for adults to come in to have adult beverages. This year we're looking at August 20th.
Quiet audience, please. Sorry.
The fair this year, the license would be from Tuesday, August 22nd through Saturday, August 26th. The tent is located next to the grandstands. You must be 21 to come into the tent. It is a great offset for the expenses at the fairgrounds. And I think many of you, if you haven't, you'll be asked to volunteer and help out this year. Many of us have served from year to year. It's all run with volunteers, and it certainly helps offset the costs of the fair.
Okay, looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the attached special license application and certify a resolution of support for submission of an application to the Michigan Liquor Control Commission for a special liquor license to serve alcohol at Emmett County. Emmett Charlevoix County Fair on August 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th, 2023, and authorize the county administrator to sign the application and other documents required to obtain a special liquor license.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I would like to promote more of a family atmosphere, and I don't think selling alcohol does that, and I'm not sure why the county wants to open itself up to that much liability. I know there's a lot of money been made off of liquor, but also there's a lot of liability involved.
Anybody else? Any other discussion?
Chair, we've had this for many years now, and as far as I know, we've never had a problem. And no one's ever gone to the fair or said it was not family friendly.
It is located in a confined space. It's fenced in.
It's been done very responsibly and with a lot of attention, so. As long as that keeps happening, I'm always for it.
So I too disagree with the use of alcohol in a family friendly fair. So my vote would be also no on that, but we'll have to wait until the vote comes. But any other comments? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
No.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
No.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have the Bear Creek Township wants a sheriff.
They do, and we've been working on this agreement for about a year now, where Emmett County would provide a deputy to serve in Bear Creek Township. The Bear Creek Township would offset all costs associated with that deputy being in there, and they're looking at services including traffic enforcement, investigating on crimes, response to calls and services, and providing enforcement to township matters. The sheriff, the undersheriff have been working with this. Denny is here tonight if there's any questions, but we feel this is a good relationship, a good partnership, and it puts another sheriff in the county.
Okay, let's have the motion first.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the attached Bear Creek contract deputy agreement for public police services between Bear Creek Township, Emmett County Sheriff, Emmett County Board of Commissioners, and authorize the chairman of the board to sign the agreement.
I support that.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions for Denny or any discussion?
spend a lot of time on Southern Bear Creek.
Yeah. So thanks for your consideration. And this has been, we've talked about this at Bear Creek for about 5 years now. It's, you know, talk to the sheriff. It's either staffing, understaffing at the sheriff, or is a lack of funding on our part. And finally, we're able to come together on this contract that's, I think, good for both parties. And I really want to thank Dave and Mike and your sheriff and undersheriff, Pete and Matt. We met 3-4 times to hammer out this agreement. And I think it's a good agreement for both parties. We continue to grow, and we know the need for extra enforcement in our township. And I'll be taking it to our board on Wednesday. You know, the board has seen it and are in support of it as well. We, of course, we got to vote on it, and we look forward to starting this a little soon. I believe it's Monday, June 19th.
Denny, will you introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. Denny Kaiser, Township Supervisor, Barrett Township.
Thanks, Denny.
He figures he's well known. So.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have Springville Township.
This is, if you recall from the last meeting, we're starting to see these come in now. These are the $50,000 matching grant that we're giving out through ARPA funding. Springvale Township is proposing to work with the Road Commission on Roy Road and do improvements on Roy Road. We've reviewed it. It meets the qualifications, and we would recommend moving forward with this project.
Okay, so let's have the motion.
I move that the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution with Springfield Township, including $50,000 matching funds to improve Roy Road as requested in the submitted application, and authorize the chairman of the board to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion passes. And we have the same for Bliss Township.
We do. On Bliss Township, the same type of proposal. It's for Pleasant View Road, and it's repaving a Pleasant View Road and improvements on Pleasant View Road. Again, this is ARPA funding that came, and we've given the funding out, the $50,000 out to all the cities, townships, and villages.
Sorry for the interruption. Could we have the motion?
Chair, I move that the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution with Bliss Township, including $50,000 of matching funds to improve Pleasant View Road as requested in the submitted application, authorize the chairman of the board to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Motion passes. For communication, we have a letter attached from the Department of Treasury, state equalization value by county.
And it's just acceptance of the letter. That's what we're
doing. Okay. Can you go over the chill map?
Yes. I need a magnifying glass, but I think
you need acceptance of the letter?
Acceptance of the letter.
I am moving that we receive the attached letter from the Department of Treasury and the assessed value for the state of Michigan by county. By county.
Support.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion passes. Time for public comment. Come on up.
Ryan Batchelor, I forgot something during my presentation, and it was important enough to turn around even after I got through Bayview. So I didn't recognize somebody who definitely deserves recognition during those two events. Northern Michigan Jet Services, one of our tenants on airport, during this last one, from the time I called him to the time he was in the air was a matter of minutes. And they actually did the removal of both aircraft to be able to get the airport back open. So I just wanted to make sure that I recognize Glenn Schlack and his team at Northern Michigan Jet Services. That's it.
Wonderful. Thank you. Be careful.
Chair, did we need to accept formally his report? We do so with the Sheriff's Department.
We don't have to, but it would be nice to recognize our
before he leaves.
Yeah.
Well, let's let him go a little bit farther. Come back in about 5 minutes.
We'll put him on a spot. Come on up and stand in front of the podium again. You want to make that motion?
I'll make the motion to accept the report of our airport manager with gratitude.
I'll second it.
Nice shirt too, Ryan. Nice shirt.
Go away.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. We come to the time for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, step forward.
Before they step up, Mike, could you please turn the air on one more time?
I appreciate it not being freezing in here, so thank you for.
Hi, my name is Beth Compton, Emmett County resident. I spoke last time. It's pretty emotional because I feel really strongly, but I have to admit, after staying through the whole meeting, this is my second one. Each and every one of you and the committee members, you don't always agree. Nobody does. And I'm really pleased the way the follow-up and all the other issues, and we come to a resolution on the one that was so emotionally fought. I just want to commend you for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
Leslie Nielsen. To finish the war document on fascism, the War Department thought it was important for Americans to understand the tactics fascists would use to take power in the United States. They would try to gain power under the guise of super patriotism and super Americanism, and they would use three techniques. First, they would pit religious, racial, and economic groups against one another to break down national unity. Part of the effort to divide and conquer would be a well-planned hate campaign against minority races, religions, and other groups. Secondly, they would deny any need for international cooperation because that would fly in the face of their insistence that their supporters were better than everyone else. In place of international cooperation, the fascists seek to substitute a perverted sort of ultra-nationalism, which tells their people that they are the only people in the world to count. With this goes hatred and suspicion toward other people of other nations. Third, fascists would insist that the world has but two choices, either fascism or communism, and they label as communists everyone who refuses to support them. It is vitally important to learn to spot native fascists, the government said. Even though they adopt names and drop slogans with popular appeal, drape themselves with American flag, and attempt to carry out their program in the name of democracy, they are trying to destroy. The only way to stop the rise of fascism in the United States, the document said, is by making our democracy work and by actively cooperating to preserve world peace and security. In the midst of the insecurity of the modern world, the hatred at the root of fascism fulfills a triple mission. By dividing people, it weakens democracy. By getting men to hate rather than to think, it prevents them from seeking the real cause and a democratic solution to the problem. By falsely promising prosperity, it lures people to embrace its insecurity. Fascism thrives on indifference and ignorance, it warned. Freedom requires being alert and on guard against the infringement, not only on our own freedom, but the freedom of every American. If we permit discrimination, prejudice, or hate to rob anyone of their democratic rights, our own freedom and all democracy is threatened. And if we want to make certain that fascism does not come to America, we must make certain that it does not thrive anywhere in the world. I appreciate everybody working with democracy.
because that is what this is about. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening. Another wonderful afternoon, evening. Joe Murphy, Emmett County. Being a commissioner and a board member is a two-way street. The Board of Health provides oversight to the local health department, which you all have been working to do. However, they're also board members are also responsible for taking the information they've obtained from the health department meetings and communicating it back to the county board and constituents. The meeting that didn't happen, the young man, commissioner from Antrim, he said 20 grants that he wanted to look at and reconsider. I asked him when the meeting wasn't going to happen, is he talking about getting rid of those 20 grants? And he said, perhaps. Some of those grants are two-year grants, so a motion to rescind it coming from the committee only needs a 4-4 vote of the health department to stop it. Now, those grants, those 20, I asked him for a copy, and he said he didn't have one. I'm hoping that Mr. Mapes and Mr. Ginnup can provide board with those 20 grants that this other commissioner would like to eliminate from the health department. The health department works on the grants it gets. If the grants the health department is getting are going to be stopped at midstream, some of the things that our health department is doing today will not be done. They will be ended midstream. That's not what the health department is supposed to do. That's not what I don't believe that's what the commissioners should be doing. So I hope the two of you who are on the committee, and especially Mr. Mapes, who's on the subcommittee, can bring back and report to Emmett County residents what funding the health department may be removed in midstream because of the anti-tax member on that committee who actually, I guess, chairs it. I hope you'll do that because, frankly, the people of this county deserve to know if some of those things that are being provided by the health committee are going to end midstream, whether it's in the schools or for our seniors who need nurses to come to their homes. I don't know what all that funding is for. And apparently neither did that individual who's talking about getting rid of them. So I would hope at the next board meeting, we could maybe find out what those 20 grants are that he's talking about getting rid of. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
It's Mary Moore, Littlefield Township. I'm very glad you guys made a couple of changes to that resolution. It makes it a lot more palatable, so thank you very much. I just want to address a couple of things that have come up. There's no fascism here. None of you guys are fascists. You are not a fascist, Mr. Ginnup, nor you, Mr. Mapes, nor I hope not you, Mr. Kuntz. So I'm not quite sure what the purpose was for reading this document written by unknown people with unknown backgrounds, you know, I don't know, 75 years ago. There's also no hatred here. I need to say, those of us who are skeptical or want to take a careful look at the financial activity of the health department or take a look at the grants carefully, we're not saying that there shouldn't be a safety net for underprivileged people. There's no hate here. This is just responsible government. And this is wondering what really is happening to the money. And I wanted then, for that reason, briefly review for you what was going on with the grant, the single grant that caused this whole controversy. Okay. The denial of that grant changes nothing because the grant never was approved last year. The health department has been operating without that grant this whole time. So if you like the way the health department is operating, it's going to keep operating that way. Secondly, the money in the grant never went to the kids. It went to Groundworks and it went to the administration of the health department. And I think it's very appropriate to have a skeptical view of Groundworks motives and Groundworks activities. And if you look at their annual report, you can get a good idea of what those are. So thank you very much, Mr. Ginnup and Mr. Mapes, for looking carefully at those things. I think our Board of Health commissioners are the most educated people about the business of the health department. Not everybody in this room who's coming up here and talking not about the issues, but about their own emotional reaction to what they think the issues are. Also, along the lines of that grant, by the way, the grant was designed to address obesity in children. It was not going to feed, it wasn't addressed to starving children. It wasn't addressed to feeding children specifically. It was addressed to the obesity of children.
Quiet in the audience, please.
And none of the money went specifically to food on plates for kids. So I just want to, again, commend all of you for spending your time and energy and effort on this board. I know it's hard, and thank you very much for your service.
Thank you. Who's next?
Mary Lou. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Two cuts. Mary Lieberman, Emmett County. In January, this Board of County Commissioners elected Commissioner Rich Ginnup as chair of the Board of Commissioners. Through a questionable process, Mr. Ginnup saw to it that he secured a spot as one of the two Emmett County representatives on the Board of Health. At the time, Mr. Ginnup shared that he thought it was time for some new representation on that board. It seems to me that after working so hard to replace Commissioner Kuntz on the Board of Health, Mr. Ginnup certainly would have been eager to advocate for public health. Instead, the public has seen time and time again that Mr. Ginnup does not actively participate in discussions at Board of Health meetings. He doesn't ask questions. He doesn't provide input. He doesn't represent Emmett County in any way. In fact, his sole contributions include 1, introducing the failed medical freedom resolution, which he made another commissioner present and claimed a lawyer friend wrote. This was a blatant attempt to circumvent the public health code and needlessly promote further community division. 2, voting to block the agenda during the May 2nd Board of Health meeting, thereby blocking the meeting from taking place, including public comment. And that's it. That's all Emmett County citizens have gotten from his representation. Being a commissioner and a board member is a two-way street. Yes, the Board of Health provides oversight to the local health department. However, board members are also responsible for taking that information they have obtained from the health department meetings and communicating that back to the county board and to constituents. Mr. Ginnup has had ample opportunity to do this, but refuses to provide any updates or education on health department matters during committee reports. Why is that? I mean, I've gone to these meetings myself. Some of them are 4 to 5 hours long, and there's no report. Nothing happened that the community needs to know. There's been much discussion about concerns with this transparency with the local health department. I must ask, whom is it that's not being transparent? Perhaps a good start would be for Mr. Ginnup to start clearing up the misinformation provided during public comment during his committee report. An example would be clarifying that the local health department does not and never has mandated vaccines. Maybe he could remind citizens that immunizations are a statutory service that the health department must provide. The list could go on and on. I'm looking forward to seeing Ms. Commissioner Ginnup start fulfilling his elected duties, starting with his role on the Board of Health. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, Pat Fralick, Bear Creek Township. And, you know, I've heard a couple of times that this grant would not provide any food for children. I have to tell you, over my career, I've written hundreds of grants. And if you just write a grant for administration purposes only, you're never going to get the money. You have to be doing a service, especially if you're a local health department. And so I don't know what was in that whole grant. I only read the grant summary, as I think most of us did. So I can't speak to exactly what was in the grant, but I can say that from my experience, funders want action. They want deliverables. They don't want to just say, oh, you look like a nice agency. I think I'll give you some money. That totally does not happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Courtney Wilbur, I'm here to clarify some confusion about farm to school.
It has nothing to do with the size of children or poverty or anything. It is making connections between school cafeterias and local farmers because our cafeteria staff don't have time for that because they are busy feeding hundreds of children. So creating that connection between the cafeteria and our local farmers keeps money in our local community. The money is not going to groundwork. The money goes to Sharm, who then pays for farm-to-school coordinators. Farm-to-school coordinators are not children, so the money is not going to children. It is going into the schools through an employee, and their experiences and their work is there to enrich the lives of children and educate children. This has nothing to do with obesity and poverty and money going to groundwork. This is all about paying a human a wage to do a job, which I think we all would like to have a wage to do the job that we do. So that is why there is money going into administration. It's going to Sharm to pay for jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Anybody else? One more chime, one more chance. So, announcements. The next meeting is going to be held on June 15th at this in this room at 6 o'clock. We need a motion to adjourn.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion is the meeting is adjourned.